Part 7. Additional Murder Speculations. Anne Marie Burr, August 31st, 1961. Anne Marie Burr was 8 years old when she disappeared from her home in Tacoma on August 31st, 1961, before sunrise. She shared a room with her three-year-old sister, and the girls were put to bed safely by their mother, as always. The front door was locked and chain-linked, and only the living area window was slightly ajar to accommodate a TV antenna wire. By 5:30 a.m., they realized that Anne Marie was nowhere to be found. The front door had been unlocked from the inside, the window was wide open, and the bench outside the window had been overturned. The family had heard their dog barking during the night, but assumed it was because of a storm that passed. Her disappearance received national attention, and a massive manhunt was launched. But to this day, her remains have never been found, and her case is cold. Ted Bundy was 14 years old at the time and lived only a few blocks away. As a paperboy for the neighborhood, he also frequently passed by her house, which was surprisingly close to his uncle's house. His uncle worked at the University of Puget Sound as a music teacher, which would have given Bundy access to the school campus, where her remains could have been buried and never found. While detectives have never been convinced that Bundy was involved in her murder, based on the lack of hard evidence, it is still highly likely that he was her killer. For example, the shoe print found at the door of the Burr home was a U.S. size 6 tennis shoe that would have been too small for an adult. Detectives concluded that it must have been a teenage perpetrator. Additionally, Anne's father was convinced that he spotted Bundy in a ditch at a construction site near the University of Puget Sound the day that his daughter disappeared, which would have been a smart way for him to discard of her body. Neighbors of the Burr house had also reported seeing someone peeping through the windows a few days before her abduction, and we know that Ted was a voyeur. Detective Robert Keppel observed Bundy's three categories of murder that had a no-discussion rule: too young, too close to home, and too close to family, which her murder would certainly fall under. When law enforcement questioned Bundy on death row about her murder, he said bluntly that he would never hurt a little girl. This cannot be true because he murdered 12-year-old Kimberly Leach, his final victim, when he was 32 years old. So why would he not have been capable of murdering an 8-year-old when he was 14? Burr's parents told the media that after speaking to Bundy in prison, they wholeheartedly believe that her remains were buried in an excavation site at the University of Puget Sound. Beverly Burr exchanged letters with Bundy twice, where she noted that he avoided all the real questions, instead deflecting to conversations about the Green River Killer and unrelated world events. 2 years after her disappearance, the family decided to adopt a little girl. In 1999, after losing hope that Anne Marie would ever be found, they held a memorial service for her at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Tacoma and planted an evergreen tree in her memory. Rest in peace, Anne Marie Burr, 12th of December, 1952, to the 31st of August, 1961. Age, 8. Lisa E. Wick and Lonnie Reed Trumbull, June 23, 1966. Lisa E. Wick and Lonnie Reed Trumbull were both 20-year-old flight attendants when they were attacked and bludgeoned in their home in Seattle on June 23, 1966. Wick survived, suffering permanent memory loss about the event, but Trumbull died. Most sources say that Bundy was working at a Safeway store close to their home at the time, where the woman frequently shopped, but he only started working at the Safeway store in 1968. He was enrolled at the University of Puget Sound in June of 1966, but was miserable and requesting to transfer to the University of Washington to continue his studies in Chinese. As we know, he liked to drive and could have easily made the 36-mile trip in his Plymouth coupe to Seattle for a couple of days to carry out this attack, which is interesting when we consider that he sold his car in September, just a few weeks later. The women were attacked with a piece of lumber, wood, while they were in bed asleep, which is remarkably similar to the way that he attacked the Chi Omega sorority victims in 1978. Wick later contacted Anne Rule, who knew Bundy and authored the book The Stranger Beside Me, and told her, "I know that it was Ted Bundy who did that to us, but I can't tell you how I know." Due to the lack of evidence, Bundy's involvement remains speculative, and the case remains unsolved. Rest in peace, Lonnie Ree Trumbull, 1946 to the 23rd of June, 1966. Age 20. Susan Marguerite Davis and Elizabeth Perry, May 30th, 1969. Bundy told forensic investigator Art Norman that his first murder victims were two women in the Philadelphia area. On May 30th, 1969, Susan Marguerite Davis and Elizabeth Perry, both 19 years old and on vacation, were stabbed to death and their bodies were discovered in the woods. One nude, one fully clothed, except for her underwear, 3 days later. Their pastel blue convertible car was found abandoned alongside the Garden State Parkway outside Summers Point in New Jersey, about 140 meters away. Interestingly, his aunt said that he could not have committed these crimes because he was wearing a leg cast that weekend from a car accident that he had a few days before, even though there are no records of this accident. However, if we look at how he feigned injuries later, using casts on his arms, slings, and even stolen crutches, it is very possible that he secured his aunt as an alibi by telling her this story. In May of 1969, Bundy was working at Griggs Lumber Mill in Tacoma, Washington, which was 2,900 miles away from Jersey Shore. To most, this would mean that it would not be possible for him to be involved in these murders, but there is always a chance. Besides the massive distance between the two points, which Bundy would have easily covered in a borrowed car from Temple University, all the other outcomes of the crime seem to match his MO perfectly. Either way, the case remains unsolved, with Ted Bundy and Gerald Stano as prime suspects. While he mostly spoke in third person in his interviews, there were two occasions when he spoke to Art Norman that he seemed to refer to this particular crime. Here is one excerpt. "Talk about being pushed to the edge. So, after being more or less detached from people for a long period, didn't have any friends, didn't really go anywhere, just more or less had school and then sort of entertained himself with his pornographic hobby, and drove to the shore and watched the beach and just saw young women lined up along the beach. You know, it's like an overwhelming kind of vision. Eventually found himself tearing around that place for a couple of days. And eventually, without really planning anything, he picked up a couple of young girls and ended up with the first time he had ever done it." Rest in peace, Susan Marguerite Davis, 14th of March, 1950, to the 30th of May, 1969, who was buried in Rolling Green Memorial Park, Camp Hill, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. Age 19. And rest in peace, Elizabeth Perry, 1950 to the 30th of May, 1969. Age 19. Rita Patricia Curran, July 19th, 1971. Rita Patricia Curran was a 24-year-old second-grade teacher at Milton Elementary and part-time motel chambermaid when she was raped, strangled, and bludgeoned to death in her basement apartment in Tacoma, Washington, on July 19, 1971. Her head and face were severely beaten. Interestingly, The motel was across from the Elizabeth Land Home for Unwed Mothers, where Ted Bundy was born. Bundy was studying at the University of Washington in Seattle at the time, which was only 36 miles away from Tacoma. Based on what Anne Rule wrote in her book, there are municipal records that show that a Ted was bitten by a dog in Vermont that weekend. Detective Robert Keppel said that Bundy had told him that he had murdered a woman in July of 1971 who worked next to the place he was born. Some speculate that perhaps he was in Vermont at the time to get his official birth records, but this had already taken place in 1969. However, he may have just been on a routine family visit or taken a breezy drive for a spot of murder in true Bundy style. Rest in peace, Rita Patricia Curran, 21st of June 1947 to the 19th of July 1971. Age 24. Joyce LePage, July 22nd, 1971. Joyce LePage was last seen on campus at Washington State University on the 22nd of July, 1971. She was an undergraduate student on her way to her apartment near Stevens Hall at the university at approximately 10 p.m. Her skeletal remains turned up 9 months later in a deep ravine south of Pullman, Washington, bound and wrapped in military blankets and carpeting. While the case remains cold, Bundy remains a suspect in her murder. Her remains were buried in Sunset Memorial Gardens in Richland, Benton County, Washington. Rest in peace, Joyce LePage, 1949 to the 22nd of July, 1971. Age 21. Rita Lorraine Jolly, June 29th, 1973. Rita Lorraine Jolly disappeared from Westland, Oregon on the 29th of June, 1973. Her remains have never been found, and her case remains unsolved. Bundy confessed to murdering two women in Oregon shortly before he was executed, but did not provide any specific details. Bundy had graduated from the University of Washington with a degree in psychology in 1972 and had been trying to get into the top law schools in the country in 1973. He started at the University of Puget Sound in September of 1973. When he was pressured or his ego had been depleted by circumstance, he often murdered women, which makes him a likely suspect in her abduction and murder. Rest in peace, Rita Lorraine Jolly, 1956 to the 29th of June, 1973. Age 17. Vicki Lynn Holler, August 20th, 1973. 24-year-old Vicki Lynn Holler disappeared from Eugene, Oregon on the 20th of August, 1973. She was last seen in a pink dress, getting into her black Beetle at 5 p.m. Vicki had just started a new job as a seamstress at Bon March 2 weeks before her disappearance. She planned to meet a friend at 8 p.m. and go to a neighborhood party, but did not show up. All her clothing and personal belongings were in her room, and she did not pick up her last paycheck. Her family mentioned that she had a habit of picking up hitchhikers and liked to help people out. Another one of Bundy's perfect targets. Vicki had long brown hair, parted in the middle, and drove a Beetle. Bundy is listed as a suspect in her case, but her remains have never been found, and the case is still cold. He told detectives that he had murdered two women in Oregon, but did not offer any specific details before he was executed. Rest in peace, Vicki Lynn Holler, 1949 to the 20th of August, 1973. Age 24. Brenda Joy Baker, May 27th, 1974. 14-year-old Brenda Joy Baker was last seen hiking near Puyallup in Washington. Her remains were found 1 month later in Millisylvania State Park. Bundy told detectives that he had no knowledge of her case, but he still remains a suspect. Her death is an unsolved mystery. Her remains were buried in Mountain View Cemetery in Auburn, King County, Washington. Rest in peace, Brenda Joy Baker, 13th of July, 1959, to the 27th of May, 1974. Age, 14. Sandra Jean Weaver, July 2nd, 1974. Sandra Jean Weaver was an 18-year-old woman with brown hair parted in the middle who was abducted in Salt Lake City, Utah on July 2nd, 1974. Her naked body was found near Grand Junction in Colorado, 280-plus miles away, 450-plus kilometers. Bundy was working at the Department of Emergency Services in Olympia, Washington, from May to August of 1974. During this time, he had applied to study law at the University of Utah, where he started in August, and would have likely made the trip to Salt Lake City in preparation for his move. Some death row interviewers have recalled him mentioning Weaver in some of his confessions, but they are not 100% sure. Her case remains unsolved. Rest in peace, Sandra Jean Weaver. 4th of August, 1955 to the 2nd of July, 1974. Age, 18. Melanie Susie Cooley, April 15th, 1975. Melanie Susie Cooley was an 18-year-old Nederland High School senior when she disappeared. She was last seen hitchhiking in Nederland wearing blue jeans, a blue denim jacket embroidered with an eagle, and tan boots. She had long, dark brown hair parted in the middle. Her body was found in Coal Creek Canyon, 20 miles, 32 kilometers away, by a road maintenance worker on May 2nd, 1975, where it was evident that she had been strangled and bludgeoned to death. Her hands were tied with yellow nylon cord, and forensic evidence showed that she had been bludgeoned on the head repeatedly with a rock. Gas receipts belonging to Bundy expose that he was near Golden, Colorado at the time, and the murder was according to his usual MO. However, the case remains cold due to inconclusive evidence, even though some police files do include Melanie as one of his official victims. He did not ever confess to her murder. Her remains were buried in Nederland, Boulder County, Colorado. Rest in peace, Melanie Suzanne Cooley, 27th of October, 1956, to the 15th of April, 1975. Age, 18. Shelley K. Robertson, July 1st, 1975. Shelley K. Robertson was a 23-year-old missionary, Spanish student, and avid traveler living in Golden who disappeared without a trace on July 1st, 1975. Her body was discovered 7 weeks later in the Willie Mae mineshaft near Georgetown, approximately 25 miles, 40 kilometers away. Bundy's gas slips place him near Golden at the time, and when asked about her murder, he said, "I don't want to talk about that." Due to inconclusive evidence, her murder remains unsolved. There is no burial or memorial site listed for this victim. Rest in peace, Shelley K. Robertson, 27th of July, 1951, to the 1st of July, 1975. Age, 23. Debbie Smith, April 1st, 1976. Debbie Smith was a 17-year-old girl who was last seen in Salt Lake City in early February 1976, which was shortly before Bundy's Durange trial began. Her body was discovered near Salt Lake International Airport on April 1st, 1976. Rest in peace, Debbie Smith, 1959 to the 1st of April, 1976. Age, 17.